The scripture verse this morning is from Luke chapter 18, from verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. And in the absence of Pastor Joelle, Seth will preach today. And Seth,
yes.
If you come here, we'll pray for you before you preach. Okay. Father, we just pray that you would speak through Seth this morning, that you would give him your words, give him your message to give to us, and help us to be receptive and open to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Amen.
Well, for those of you who were here last week, you will remember, I hope, that we were talking about We were talking about inside out, and that Jesus does things differently than the way the world does them. And last week's story was about Simon, the Pharisee, and a sinner, as we're told. And we're told through other texts that the sinner was a woman of ill repute. Well, our text today is similar, and where Jesus turns things upside down or inside out. And today's topic is humble to be exalted. How many of you have seen this picture before? Tell me, what do you see? I hear a lady. What kind of lady? A young lady. Does everyone see a young lady? Both what? We only talked about a young lady. An old lady. You see, sometimes things aren't as you see them or think they are. How about this one? You seen this one? Which direction is the cat going? You know, it's all well and good when it's optical illusions, right? But sometimes there's things in life where it's a bit more critical that we actually know what's what. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us today. He's saying, you may think this is true, but I'm telling you something else is true. One of the areas in which that this is most true and critical is in an avalanche. Another case in time when this is also true would be if you fall in the water under the ice, knowing which way is up, which way is out. One of the things that they say in an avalanche is if you're caught in an avalanche and you're buried in snow, you need to clear out a bit of snow from in front of your face and spit. so that you can see which direction the spit falls, which will tell you which way is up. A few years ago, an American was caught in an avalanche and dug 30 meters the wrong direction because he thought he was digging up when he was digging down. In our scripture passage today, Jesus talks about two people, a Pharisee. And a Pharisee was supposed to be a religious leader, someone who was highly respected. That was a powerful position. And the other one was a tax collector. Now, we're not talking about the IRS or Skattetaten when we're talking about a tax collector. You see, a tax collector wasn't a fair person who waged the same taxes on everyone. A tax collector was someone who decided at whim and skimmed off the top for his own use. To get a better picture of what we're talking about in terms of a tax collector, we could turn to this person. Does anyone recognize him? Bernie Madoff. Here he is being arrested. He swindled millions and millions of dollars from a lot of people. Basically, it was a Ponzi scam or a house of cards. He constantly moved the money from one place to another. He would borrow from these people to pay back the investments to these people and just kept moving money around until he got caught. When Jesus is talking about the tax collector, this is the kind of person that he's talking about, someone who is greatly despised by everyone. Now let's look at our text. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, now let's take a moment and think about that. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying to some people, he's talking to some people who were confident about how good they were, and to them, he told this story. Again, there are two people in our story, the Pharisee and the tax collector. What the tax collector is saying there is, thank God I'm not like that person. But sorry, the Pharisee, thank you. We would never pray anything like that, would we? I mean, I wouldn't stand up here and say, Lord, I just want to thank you that I am not like Andrew. I mean, we would never be guilty of anything like that, right? But you see, there's the problem. As soon as you think the story isn't about you, the story is about you. As soon as you think that you're too good for this story to be about you, the story's about you. And perhaps we may not make statements like that, but we might say things like, you can't talk to me like that. When we say things or even think like that, we're separating ourselves from the others. We're placing ourselves higher than the other person. Or we might say, well, if they want to apologize, that's fine, but... Again, when we think things like this, we are placing ourselves in the place of the Pharisee. Or another thing we might think is, it's not my problem, but they're the ones with an issue. I'm currently reading a book called Thanks for the Feedback. A subtitle is something about how to receive feedback with grace or something like that. I don't know. The idea being that in our culture today, we give a lot of feedback. You have employee review, you have evaluations, you have project reviews, all these different things. The problem isn't the feedback. It's not giving it, but it's receiving it because we don't take it in. And this is one area in which I see that this is true for us. That we don't take in the feedback that we're getting from Jesus. Another problem in society today is social media. And as you know, I am a fan of social media. But one thing that's become clearer and clearer to me is how much we only present a part of ourselves in social media. I have a friend of mine who posts consistently when things aren't going her way, and that annoys me. I don't want to be that person, so I don't do that. And I think that's a good thing. But then I only end up posting the things that are positive. Almost as if I'm trying to present myself in a good light. I struggle with this because what I hope I'm doing is presenting the good things in my life, sharing those good things with others. But it can become very superficial. In a way, saying, thank God I'm not like those other people. I recently had the opportunity to attend my 30th high school reunion, and a lot of people commented on how they knew me because they had seen my pictures on Facebook. Now, I don't know about you, but when I post on Instagram, I'm not taking the worst time in my life and posting that. Purposefully. You know, when we're on vacation, we post pictures of us on vacation on the beach and look how wonderful our life is and all these things. We don't post on Monday morning in our hotel room when we're grumpy and not fit to be with anyone. Here's me, a selfie of me in the corner because I can't be with anyone right now. So our culture teaches us to look on the outside, which is exactly what the Pharisee was doing. If you have your Bibles or your digital Bibles, please turn to Luke 18. And let's look at our text again and see some of the things that we can learn from the text. When we focus on the outside, we turn our faith into a performance. Look what a good Christian I am. This can come through in many ways. It can be pride in how much money we give to the church or to missions organizations or to charities, how much time we give, how much time we spend working for the church. Any way where we look at ourselves and say, look at what I'm doing, the attention is on us. Another problem with the Pharisee is he's comparing himself to someone else. Thank God I'm not like that person. And there are many ways, as we've seen, that we can do this in our own hearts and minds. And thirdly, when we focus on the outside, we put our confidence into our accomplishments. Instead of my trust being in the Lord, my trust is in me and my abilities, my skills, my strengths, my resources. It becomes about us and not about him. But fortunately, there are two people in this story. We also see the tax collector. And if we look at the text here, we see several things. He stands at a distance. What does this tell us? It tells us that it isn't a show. He's not doing this for the benefit of anyone else. He's not doing damage control. He's not trying to win approval. He's trying to be open and honest with the Lord. Have any of you heard of Nick Wallenda? I'll post some links to some of his YouTube clips. Here you see him, I think this was in 2013, 2014. Here he is walking across the Grand Canyon. 15,000 feet up, no safety harness. I don't know a lot about the man, One of the clips seemed to indicate that he's seventh generation tightrope walker. I do know that his great-grandfather also did some things like this, not across the Grand Canyon. Because on one of the clips, the BBC showed him a clip, or an audio clip, played an audio clip of his grandfather walking. And his grandfather does the exact same thing that he does. And as he's walking across here, he spends his entire time talking to the Lord. But that's not why I have him here this morning. The incredible thing about him is that after these events where he walks across this, it took him about 25 minutes to walk across the Grand Canyon. He does all the interviews with all the television stations and radio stations and whatnot. And then after all the spotlight is no longer on him, he spends about 3 hours cleaning up the garbage from all the people that were standing there watching. He says the reason that he spends 3 hours cleaning up garbage after people is because it keeps him humble. And he believes that it's a necessary thing when walking a tightrope to be humble. He says, it doesn't come naturally to me. I've got to force myself into situations that are humbling. If I don't, it's going to trip me up. The Bible uses the same language and says pride goes before a fall. So what can we learn from the tax collector? If we're focusing on the inside, if our faith is affecting us on the inside, it's not a show, but it's about being in a right relationship with the Lord, we voluntarily confess our sins. You can pretend like everything's good on the outside, but I hope you have people with whom you can be real and honest. For me, this is one of the benefits and blessings of growth groups, a small group of people with whom we can be open and honest. If we're allowing our faith to affect us from the inside, we give selflessly and anonymously our time, our money. When I give of myself and no one knows about it, it helps to keep me humble. A third thing that we can do is to ask for help. In Philippians 2, we're told that in humility, values others above yourselves. This is a classic example of the upside down or inside out mentality of Jesus Christ. But the tax collector stood at a distance, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's a key passage here that we need to take with us today. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Not those who are humbled, but those who willingly choose to humble themselves. There's a difference. Bernie Madoff was embarrassed publicly when he was arrested and was humbled by the act of being arrested. That does not necessarily mean that he became humble or that he humbled himself. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, values others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He willingly chose to humble himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus, who, number one, humbled himself. Number one, made himself nothing, and number two, humbled himself. And then verse 9 says, God exalted him to the highest place. And the same will be true of us. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of Christ's redeeming work on the cross. No matter what, every knee shall bow. Every person shall be humbled. The question is, will we humble ourselves now, willingly? What credit do you get? What good is it to you if you kneel when it is impossible to stand? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we